Brazil has agreed to hold back its oil supplies in an attempt to stabilize global markets. In total, 23 nations committed to reducing oil production, including the U.S., Saudi Arabia, and Russia. There's been an oil glut because, well, you're aware, no one is going anywhere. Prices dropped, but the oil has kept on flowing. Gaurav Sharma is a financial writer based in London. He's focused on the oil and gas sector. Gaurav, President Trump tweeted out yesterday, the big oil deal with OPEC Plus is done. This will save hundreds of thousands of energy jobs in the United States. So let me ask you, will the deal really save all those jobs?
I think it's a very sweeping statement by the president. What we have here is a very tall claim. Those jobs could only be saved if the world gets a handle on the coronavirus and the economy starts bouncing back somewhere towards the end of the second quarter. But this deal in itself, it's not sufficient enough to save jobs because we're flying less, we're driving less, we're even consuming less. And that is very bad news for the oil industry.
So Trump has been a harsh critic of OPEC, as you know, but he and other U.S. officials were banging the phones hard this weekend to get something across the finish line with this deal. Why was this deal so important to Trump?
So the president has indulged in some phenomenal diplomacy over the course of the Easter weekend. And as a result of that, we have a deal of 9.7 million barrels per day. At one point on Thursday, it looked like everything would collapse. And there was some phenomenal diplomacy by the White House, calling the Russians, calling the Saudis, calling the Mexicans. It's so important to the president because Texas is a key state for the president. And this is where we are. He wants to keep Texas, Oklahoma, places like the Dakotas and Alaska on board because these are huge oil and gas states, and hence his extraordinary intervention.
Does the deal at least soften the relationship now between the U.S. and OPEC? Will it lead to a new level of trust, do you think?
I think this is an association of convenience. At the same time that that the president is ringing Moscow and is ringing Riyadh, he's also sanctioned Moscow, or rather the U.S. government has. At the same time, he's also trying to say that too much cheap Saudi oil is flooding U.S. markets and that he might at some point consider slapping tariffs on them. He's cooled all of that down because of this deal, but I think the sort of geopolitical tensions, especially between Washington and Moscow, they're likely to persist because while Russia has acted for its own self-preservation, at least on paper, we'll see what the data says later down the year. So while Russia has acted in its own self-preservation, that does not for one moment ease the tensions between Moscow and Washington.
It sounds like you don't really see, Gaurav, consistency in Trump's oil policy.
I think the consistency is very hard to find. Whenever the president sort of takes the mantle on anything, keen followers of his Twitter account, which the president is quite fond of, would notice that just 12 months ago, the president was having a go at the Saudis, was having a go at OPEC, was having a go at oil producers in general, saying, come on, guys, you are pumping, you're controlling your pumps, you're lowering the flow of oil, and U.S. consumers are suffering. Let the free market prevail. What the president didn't forecast was there'd be a huge global pandemic. And as a courtesy of that pandemic, the free market is prevailing, but the oil and gas sector is bleeding. So I'm not convinced. There seems to be an abject lack of consistency. But then I guess self-preservation is the overriding factor here.
Gaurav Sharma is a London-based writer and blogger of the Oilholics Synonymous Report. Gaurav, thanks for your time.
Thank you.